Style. Love the title, by the way. And this idea that the Christian way, the way of Jesus, is the true alternative lifestyle because it goes against those normal cultural lifestyles that we see each and every day. By the way, if you want to hear more on that, we have a podcast online. It's called the Behind the Sermon series. We try to do it every Monday or Tuesday. Go online and listen to it. And it goes into depth about that sermon the day before. But the way of the cross, it is definitely an alternative lifestyle. It's confusing to people. If it's really lived out, people cannot understand it, can they? Because we love when we shouldn't. We forgive whenever people seem unforgivable. We show compassion when it seems irrational. And we don't see people as the world sees them. We don't see them as trash or as worthless or as unreachable. Even when they take a gun and kill 9 innocent people. Our first thought is not self-defense or arming ourselves. Our first thought is forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because God loved the world, all of us. He did not condemn. He loved us. And we do the same when we walk in the way of Jesus because it is difficult. It is demanding. It is impossible to walk alone. This is why God gave us the Spirit. In John 14, 26, it says, "The Father is sending a great helper, the Holy Spirit, in my name to teach you everything and to remind you of all that I've said to you." When we walk in the way of Jesus, we are walking an alternative lifestyle. Thank you, Russell, for that last week. So this brings up to our last element, and that is this idea of delete. This delete. Have you ever done this in real life? You've used the Control Alt Delete or just the Control Z function, which undoes everything you've done. In my life, there I will do something, and in my head, I will press that little shortcut key, hoping that I can take back the thing that I just said or something that I just did. It just happens that way. This idea of delete, I think, is kind of important. So I ask myself, one of those moments whenever I feel frustrated because I don't feel like I'm that person that I really want to be. You know those things whenever you, those moments when you want to follow, you want to go all in with God, but it seems like your hands are full. You know, you can never quite go fast enough. You can never be as close to God as you want because it seems like you just go slower. You know, maybe we're trying to follow God with full hands. I've been there right here. And I want to tell you, if you're in this moment when you have got a lot of baggage, I want you to know I have faith in you. I believe in you. God believes in you. You are His plan A for saving the world. Did you know that? You are His plan A for bringing hope to a hopeless world. But I know it's a little consolation sometimes because we're doing our best. We're trying our hardest. We can only pay so much attention or walk so far or fast. And sometimes it may not just be a few things in our hands. Maybe we have a lifetime of baggage. There were tons of these pictures, by the way. You would be amazed at what people can fit onto a motorcycle or a bicycle. What are we holding on to? What baggage is weighing us down? And what do we need to get rid of? What are those things we need to delete in order to reset, to become fully devoted followers of Jesus? When I think about my own list, it seems endless. Does yours? I mean, for me, being all in, it's not only for me, it's for my family. It's for my sphere of influence, my friends. There are some things I do not want to pass along to my kids. Amen? And there are some things that I do, but like it or not, we end up passing things down one generation at a time. Let's watch this video.
Hey, Dad. What was Grandpa like whenever you were my age?
I don't know. He's like a dad.
Did Grandpa make you listen to this terrible music?
mean, did he culture me? You bet he did.
Did Grandpa get lost too?
Sometimes we're not lost.
Recalculating route to your destination. You will arrive in approximately 2 days, 3 hours.
What's your license insurance?
Did Grandpa have a lead foot too?
Amen.
Grandpa teach you to pray before every meal like that?
Yeah, for every meal.
Did Grandpa do that too?
Yeah.
You really are a lot like him, aren't you? I hope I'm like you whenever I grow up.
What's with all the lollygagging? I'm not paying you guys to sit around and look at pictures. Chop chop! My stuff's not gonna get to a condo on the golf course by itself.
Has Grandpa always been so bossy?
Always.
Is he actually paying us?
Not a chance.
You really are a lot like him, aren't you?
Love that one. Like it or not, we are a product of our upbringing, aren't we? Hardwiring sometimes. We are a product of our fathers. Like him or not, we bear his image. We take on his traits, sometimes by genetics. Some of us have never met our fathers, but we probably resemble him. Sometimes because we lived with them and we've watched them and saw things modeled by him, we bear his image. Even when we strive to be the best father we can be, sometimes our image is born in negative ways, isn't it? And the truth is, we are modeling a life, whether we like it or not. We're telling our children what it means to make a difference in the world. So my question for myself as I prepared this week is, what would I be willing to delete in my life in order to show my family the best possible future in Jesus Christ? Now, typically what you delete, if your children are young, they'll delete. What you keep, they'll keep. What you cling to, they'll cling to. What are we modeling for them? How long, as it says in the video, is the shadow of our legacy? But I'm here to say this is not exclusive to fathers. Whoever you are also modeling a life. You are also leaving a legacy. We are modeling a way of living. And the question I have is, that model, that life going to lead to Jesus, or is it going to lead to a dead end? So what would we be willing to delete, get rid of, in order for someone to find life and eternity in Jesus Christ? So first we must ask ourselves, what do we want? When people come up and talk to me, if they have an issue, and one of the questions I'll ask them is, what do you want? What is it that you want? Sometimes we don't know. But do we know what we want to be? What to do? Do we know what we want for our life and our family and our friends? Paul was very clear about what he wanted. Let's look at this in Philippians chapter 3. That's what it says. It's starting in verse 10. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So the question is, do we want to know Christ? Do we really want to know the power of His resurrection? And if so, what is keeping us from pressing onward? Is it really possible to forget what is behind? What is it we need to delete? What is it we need to keep? So as I'm thinking through this, maybe we can start with things we can see. Maybe we might need to think about deleting some things or possessions in our life, especially those things that keep us from engaging with others. You know, I can come to church and I can pray and I can say hello here and there, but am I really engaging with the people here? My question is, are the things in my life, are they merely possessions or are they tools to help me become generous and give? Have I looked at my gifts and my possessions as a means to an end? Or have I become like that character Gollum from Lord of the Rings or King Midas, that person where the possession is the reason I'm alive? The things are the purpose of my life. Are people a means to an end, I wonder? Maybe pressing on for us. Maybe that means to delete our need for things and the perfectly decorated life. Maybe pressing on means to begin paying attention to those people right next to you, the poor. And we have poor among us. We have poor around us, not to be looked down on. But these people are to be shared with. Share your life with them. Maybe pressing on is sharing life with everyone in this room. Is there something keeping us from being here as often as possible? Is church an option for us? Or is this time together what we look forward to? I've struggled. I've been all over the map there. But I tell you, I am firmly in belief that we need each other. And Sunday mornings are an opportunity for us to share life, to share stories, to mourn together, to laugh together, to encourage each other. I heard someone tell me a while back that they weren't getting filled here. They weren't getting filled. They weren't getting what they needed on Sunday. My first thought was, what is church to you? What is church to us? Have we become spiritual gluttons where we work all week, we give, or we take, and then we come to church on Sunday to take some more? The irony is that on Sunday, the more you give, the more you are filled. The more you empty yourself to the person right next to you, the more we are filled. The more we give our lives to new families and to people in mourning, the more we are filled. When we sit and we get angry because things aren't going our way on Sunday or we don't like this or that, this is not about others. This is about me. No wonder we're not getting filled. We're already full. Maybe pressing on means emptying ourselves. And sacrifice. Maybe we need to delete our unrealistic expectations. You know, I also hear people say, I don't want to serve because, well, I'm not spiritual enough, or I'm not knowledgeable enough. I don't know enough Bible, or I'm not that good in business to be a deacon. I'm not that good in this way. The longer we hold on to that baggage right there, the longer we keep from being in the kingdom of God, knowing our place, knowing what God has for us. The only limitation we put on God is the things we put on ourselves. God wants to take you and do some amazing things with you. You just have to be willing. enough with enough. Let God, maybe pressing on is letting God use you, flaws and all. We have a lot of expectations, don't we? For me, I look at, I push my kids in certain things, and sometimes I have unrealistic expectations for them. And I think maybe, for me, pressing on means to forget those unrealistic expectations. Not every kid is going to be a brain surgeon. Not every kid is going to be a professional athlete. And deep down I know this, but it's hard sometimes. Maybe in this context, pressing on, deleting those things which keep you from fully engaging, maybe that looks like teaching our kids to live in a world that's not fair. Maybe it's teaching our children to live in a world where God is their hope. With this idea that even though life isn't fair, it's filled with people who are controlled by everything except for God, and we have the hope that they need. Maybe pressing on shows our children that we love people anyway, regardless of how they treat us. Maybe pressing on means we don't follow the world's schedule, even if it jeopardizes our futures. We follow the way of Jesus, this alternative lifestyle where we give ourselves away. So the question I have is, what do we need to keep? What do we need to delete? I want to know Christ. I want people to know Jesus Christ through me. I want people to know Him through us as Grapevine Church of Christ. So imagine what we could do if we emptied ourselves to everyone in this room. If we made eye contact with every person in this room. We said hello, not just to get out, but to really engage. What would it look like if we emptied ourselves to each other? If we mourned when people mourned and laughed when people laughed? What would it look like if this became a community not built on social status or what we do or likes, but on faith? Faith that God has forgiven us? Faith that Jesus has rose from the dead? Faith that there is hope and eternal life for anyone who believes. What kind of community could this be? So, encouragement. Let's press on. Let's reset. Let's find what that prize is, and let's know God, and let's know His Son who has resurrected from the dead. Let us keep our eyes on the prize, which is life through Jesus Christ. Deleting is difficult. If you know how difficult it was for me, look at my computer. I have files from ages ago. It's hard to delete things, but I tell you, God is worth it. And your family is worth it, and this church family is worth it. You can do it. Press on. The prize is waiting. Let us stand together right now. If you need to talk, I'll be down front. I would encourage you to say hello to someone before you leave. Encourage and have a great Father's Day, whether you're a father or not.